are listening to the Devils Talking Padres podcast for East Village Times, coming to you from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Here are your hosts, Dominic Stern and Bobby Murphy.
Welcome into Devils Talking Padres. Really confusing series just went on in Atlanta. A lot of rain. Bobby and I, we are hoping to record this at around 5:30 Pacific time on Wednesday, but it got rained out. So then we had to wait until they officially made the announcement the game was not going to be finished tonight and it was not going to be played tomorrow. So the series, in essence, is over, but the three games were not all completed. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'm Dominic Stern, joined by Bobby Murphy. Bobby, how are you today on this fine Wednesday? And I say that knowing I'm going to get a little bit different of an answer this time.
You know what, Tom? I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not doing great. I'm not doing great after the Suns lost last night. But did wake up and watch some Padres baseball today for part of the day. But just a weird series. I mean, just waiting for that rain delay, waiting for them to finally announce what was happening. And now we'll have to resume the game later in the season once we play them in September. But I'm doing good. But just always excited to talk some Padres baseball.
Yeah, we'll take some of the frustration from the Suns, and we can now make you happy and talk about the Padres in this series. Like I said, really weird series. Game one on Monday wasn't played. It was pushed back into a doubleheader on Wednesday. The game on Tuesday, the Padres lost 2-1, and the Padres won the opener of a 7-inning doubleheader 3-2. And then in game three, the Padres were up 5-4. In the bottom of the fifth inning when the game was called due to rain. And then 2.5 to 3 hours later, it was postponed until a date TBD, which I assume will be when the two teams play in September. But what did you make of the, I don't even want to say 2.5 games because it really wasn't 2.5 games. It was a game, a 7-inning game, and then half of a 7-inning game.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about each of these game by game, but obviously the first game was disappointing, only scoring one run off of Tucson, who this year, I mean, he has a 1.35 ERA. But, I mean, after that offensive explosion we saw against the Nationals, 41 runs in three innings, we only got 5 hits and 1 run, which was on a sac fly in the fourth inning of that first game. So just disappointing offensive output and a solid outing by Darvish. I mean, 2 runs in 5 2/3 innings, not the best, but I'll gladly take that. Just didn't get enough support from the offense. It was just really tough to watch. Grisham went 0-4. Cronenworth went 0-3, did score the only run. Myers had 2 hits. He was the only guy with multiple hits in the game. It was just a hard game to watch offensively, and it sucks that we lost it, but can't win every single game, of course.
It was a really painful game to watch because after I missed every game from the Padres series against the Nationals in which the offense was absolutely explosive, Bob and I, we talked about that in the last episode, they scored 8 runs in every game and they come out of the one game that I'm able to watch because I'm not working and they only score 1 run. They weren't able to play the day before when I was going to be able to watch. And then they put up 1 run against a pitcher who had really just been out of the league for some time. So really frustrating game. Really good start from Yu Darvish. I shouldn't say really good. I'll say good start from Yu Darvish. 5 2/3, 2 run run, 3 Ks, 2 walks. It was good, and it was pretty good until he got 2 outs in the 6th inning, and then at that point, it fell off the rails. He worked a long count against Austin Riley and then hit him. And then he ended up walking Stephen Vogt, and then that was the end of his day. But he put the Padres in a position to be able to win. I mean, when you do that, you give them some length and you only allow 2 runs, you definitely should be rewarded by the team, and the Padres should have won this game, but they didn't do enough with the bat. Only a couple of Padres were able to get hits, only 4 of them. Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado, Victor Caratini, and then Will Myers with 2 hits, so... And it's not like they were getting hits, but they were getting walks. They only tallied 2 walks in this game. So just not a good performance from the Padres all around. Offensively, good job from the bullpen to come in and close out the last 2 1/3. But ultimately didn't matter because the Padres couldn't score. So a bummer of a game here.
I mean, that was the bullpen didn't pitch great. They kept us in it. Tim Mills struck out the only batter he faced. Pierce had a perfect inning, and then Adams allowed a hit. And, Austin Adams is just amazing so far this year, 1.60 ERA. And, of course, we know his nasty slider, and he just gets through innings and just ease just with ease. And he did struggle a little bit earlier in the season, but he's totally picked it up the last few months. And he's just so fun to watch. But offense really had to do more in this game. And only drawn two walks, like you mentioned. I mean, that's not what the Padres do. We are disappointed at the plate, and they're patient, and they draw walks, but they were not able to do that this game.
Yeah, just not a good game offensively. And then I saw after the game, some dude from Atlanta, he tweeted at Tommy Pham, and I'm sure you didn't see this because you were focused on the Suns game, but some dude tweeted at Tommy Pham saying, "Why is Tommy Pham threatening to beat me up because I'm asking Fernando Tatis Jr. for an autograph? Players should not promote this type of behavior." And he added Tommy Pham in this. He didn't add Fernando Tatis Jr. And Tommy Pham said, he replied to this tweet and said, "Well, when you come berating Tatis in our hotel elevator, you're going to get told to go away." And Tommy basically clapped back at him, ratioed him. Like, you think of like an all-time ratio. This is what it was. And then the kid fired off like four replies back at Tommy Pham. All of them got ratioed. And then he deleted his Twitter account. So he got crushed. Well, because he deleted his Twitter account. So all the tweets about it ended up going away. But Tommy Pham, shout out to you. You didn't have the greatest game, but you're human. It happens. But you had a really good day.
Get driving our only run.
He did. You're right. But he performed off the field, which I think counts for something. It doesn't, but tough loss for the Padres here in game number two, but he's 100% right in that situation. You can't be going into players' hotels asking them for autographs. You got to give them some space because I don't have a Fernando Tatis Jr. autograph. I don't think you do either. And I would do a lot of things to get that autograph, but bothering them on a personal level, I don't think I would do. Right. I know I wouldn't do. So that is that. Game number two, this was played Wednesday morning in a 7-inning game. Padres ended up winning this game 3-2. Got up early 3-0 in the 4th inning, a Ha-Sung Kim sac fly. And then in the 5th inning, Fernando Tatis Jr. hit his 29th home run of the season. He still leads all National League players. Then in the 6th inning, the Braves got back into it. Chris Paddock, the Padres, they opted to pinch hit for him in the top of the 6th inning because there were two runners on. Jace Tingler tried to go extend the lead. It didn't work. And then Drew Pomeranz, who had been really good for the Padres this year, he came in and he did not shut the door. ERA, after he allows two earned runs, it goes up to 1.89. So that just shows you how well he's been on the year. But he didn't do a great job. Freddie Freeman, he worked a long single. Then Ozzie Albies, he drove a double to right field. Then Drew Pomeranz threw a ball away. It was definitely a playable ball by Caratini, but it got away from him. And then Albies got hit in. This is the next batter. And then Mark Melanson came in, and we've talked about it. Melanson's put himself in a situation where he doesn't have a ton of leash, but he still has some leash as the Padres closer. And he looked so dominant in this outing. Now, I will say, I saw him go to touch the back of his neck, and it was only with two fingers. It was his middle finger and his index finger. I don't know what that means. I've seen some reports about players, you know, trying to find other ways to find their sticky stuff and put them in other spots in their glove, their belt, their hat, which is where the places that they are getting more exposed to. So I don't know if that's what Mark Melanson was doing, but I definitely saw that. And that could explain why, because it was a drop from where he fell. It was as soon as they started cutting down on the sticky stuff, Melanson started to get significantly worse. And he definitely looked really good in this outing. I don't know if that's why he did, but he looked good. And, you know, I'm not going to question the results because he looked really good in this. But Padres end up winning this game 3-2. And even though it's only a 7-inning game, all wins count the same.
Yeah, and this game, I mean, this was an exciting game. I mean, not much offense, but Padres got the runs that they needed to. And, I mean, Kim had a great series, just doing whatever he could to bring in runs. We'll talk about him in the last game in a sec, but getting a sack fly to score Profar, that's all you need to do. Just put the ball in play and just let them score. And then Tatis with his two-run homer, that was beautiful, 411 feet to left. And then the two runs on Pomerantz. Obviously, we know how well he's been pitching this year. And he allowed two hits. And the weird thing is the two runs weren't on any, like, I don't say hard hit balls, but anything like there's hits on hits. It was, I mean, the two hits and then a pass ball, which Caratini, you said could have got, but it was called a pass ball, and then a sack fly. So he wasn't getting hit hard for the runs, but he was allowing hits, and then they were just coming around. But great start by Paddock in this. He really needed that. Five innings, three hits, zero runs, only one strikeout. But Tingler did say if it wasn't a seven-inning game, he would have brought him out there for another inning. But just Melanson, two strikeouts in the inning. Sticky stuff right there. Could be interesting, but nothing happened there really. So not worrying about that. Great appearance by him in this game to get the save. But Pomerantz did make it interesting. I wasn't worried. I mean, still have faith in Melanson, of course. But Padres did what they needed to, got the runs across. 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. I mean, in the first game, they went 0 for 5. So just not the clutches hitting, but Padres did enough. Padres did what they could in this game to get a win.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the hits and with runners in scoring position, they're 0 for 7, but Fernando Tatis Jr., two-out home run, a runner on base, and Kim driving a runner in on a sack fly. I mean, he deserves some credit there, even though it's not a hit. Still him getting the job done. But yes, not a good series with runners in scoring position for the Padres. Now, they had an opportunity in Game 3 to do more, but the game was, of course, shut down early. But Padres jumped out to a 4-0 lead here in the first inning. And in this game, what do they do with teams with runners in scoring position here?
3 for 7. Love it.
Yeah, so it's a lot better. And they probably, I'd like to think they would have had more opportunities in the sixth and the seventh inning, but this game was cut short. They also added a run in the second inning when Cronenworth singled in Grisham. But in the second inning, Reese Nair, it kind of fell apart for him. He ended up getting pulled with two outs in the inning. And Camarena ended up surrendering a run as well. Just wasn't a great game from those guys. And it was part of the reason why pulling Paddock in the fifth inning kind of didn't really make a ton of sense. Because, like I said, they were trying to go after runs, which totally for. But at the same time, you're also having a guy make his second career start in what could possibly be some bad conditions. You got a 4-game series upcoming after it. You could try and get another inning out of Chris Paddock and save a bullpen arm that you could have used here in this situation. Now, game ended up getting rained out, so it didn't really matter that much. But used Nair, used Camarena, used Chris Matt, and used Hill. And Tim Hill, he only made one pitch. He came out to come and pitch the fifth inning, but he warmed up. And then the umpires are like, nope, we're not going to play in this. And they ended up calling the game. Waited a long time, and then they ended up postponing the game to a date TBD. And I haven't seen any updates on Twitter about anything. So that means they still have not come up with a date. I'd imagine it's going to be in San Diego when the team's coming to town. But Atlanta technically does have the power to say, hey, we want to make the Padres come to us and play that game if it's on like some random day. Now, the problem for the Padres is that they don't end up going to the East Coast again for this year because they've played all NL East teams. They've played the Pirates. They've played the Reds. They've played the Cubs. They've played the Brewers on the road. So they only have, I believe, the Cardinals. And I think that's it in the Central. Any other teams? There's the Pirates, the Brewers, the Cubs, the Cardinals, and what's the other team? And the Brewers. So they just have the Cardinals on the road. So they don't exactly have to go out east anymore. And it would also be inconvenient because you have to find a day in which both the Braves and the Padres have a day off. So I'd imagine it's just coming out to San Diego. But the Braves technically have the power to say, no, you're going to come here and you're going to play. But also if they do that and they can't find a date, it would be on that Monday right after the season ends before the playoffs start. But if that game ends up not mattering for anything, the Major League Baseball could end up canceling that game and the Padres would only play 161 games. So very interesting scenario. I think they're just going to end up playing it in San Diego, but the Braves technically don't have to.
And before I get more into the game, I mean, I'm not looking at the Braves schedule, but Padres, I mean, they'll leave the East Coast on Sunday after they play their last game at Miami. Don't think that there's a chance that I don't know the Braves schedule for Sunday, but or even Monday, but I'm guessing that right after the game on Sunday, they fly back to San Diego for the A's series. But Sunday or Monday could always be an option. I just don't think, I just don't see that happening right now. But my question is, what are the rules for a game that either gets ended? Because I know this game was in the fifth inning. What games get like stops? Does it have to be sixth or seventh inning?
Yeah, the game has to complete the fifth inning.
Okay.
In order for it to be ruled an official Major League Baseball game, which makes sense for a nine-inning game because that means you played over half the game. But for a seven-inning game, there are only 2.5 innings remaining. Like, technically, you would think it would just be complete four innings, but that was not the case. I don't know. Major League Baseball tends to get things wrong, and this definitely seems like a case where they got another thing wrong. And I don't know what this means for baseball upcoming, but this game, when it does get resumed, it will be started in the bottom of the fifth of a seven inning game. You don't have to use the pitcher that was on the mound, but you have to start in the lineup where it was, which I don't really know exactly where it started. I think it was Orlando Arcia, but any pitcher who didn't pitch in this game. So for the Padres, Reese Nair, Daniel Camarena, Nabil Chrismat, and Tim Hill. Well, Tim Hill can pitch because he was the active pitcher. But Nair, Camarena, and Chrismat cannot pitch. And the lineup, if Grisham, Tatis, Kernanworth, Hosmer, Myers, Profar, Kim, Caratini, they have to be on the roster. And or they don't have to be on the roster, but if they're on the roster, they have to be on the team. It's really confusing. And it's why they waited so long, because they wanted to try to avoid this, but it seemed inevitable. And the Braves, they botched this, because the Braves ultimately decide, because it's their home game, when the games are played and how they're played. And so when they made the decision to postpone the game on Monday as a doubleheader, first off, their mistake was choosing Wednesday. They should have made it a Tuesday game early. So that way they didn't run into this problem of having to figure it out to end the series. And then the second problem was when they put it on Wednesday was that they made a 2-hour break in between games. Normally it's required like 25 to 45 minutes to get the field redone, and then you can resume the game or resume the other game. But they made it 2-hour break. And then that extra time allowed for the rain to get in and at least make sure that the game wasn't an official game at five innings. So the Braves ended up messing up three times. One, postponing the game because there was some time on Monday in which the rain stopped that they didn't end up playing it. Two, they put it on Wednesday. Three, they made the break too long. That's what the Braves ended up doing. And now fans can ask for refunds on their tickets. So yeah, Braves end up losing here.
Yeah. And I mean, it sucks that we'll have to come back to this at some point. And obviously if it just ended, it would have been nice for us. We're obviously up, but it's just an odd situation that will somehow hopefully have to be fixed, or they could just give us a win. Who knows? But yeah, looking at the game, I mean, just early runs. I love that in a 7-inning game. It's nice to get on the board early. Four runs with the Hosmer sack fly, Myers getting walked to score a run, and then Kim's RBI double to center. That was just a beautiful shot off the bat. Nice bat flip from Kim as usual, but that was just a shot that he hit on that double. So that was great to see from him. He had a great series, driving in three runs. But yeah, Nair did not look great, neither did Camarena. But I mean, I'm not worried about him. We're not going to see Nair too often. But go down from the offense and just in what we had so far through five at bats. But Cronos had a great game, 2-for-3 with an RBI and a run. Grisham had two runs. Tatis had one. Myers had one. So just great overall, just good offensive output from what we had so far. Love seeing the early runs. But yeah, not much else in this game. Padres hit well. Pitchers, I mean, it wasn't any of our high leverage guys who I'm going to worry about too much, but not the best pitching output.
Right. It was none of the high leverage arms except for Tim Hill. He came in and threw one pitch and he got a ground ball double play. So that was pretty awesome. But that's all we got for this series. And let's move on to the upcoming series against the Miami Marlins. We were going to do Devil and Wildcat, but with the what ended up being a really shorted series, Bobby and I were opting to postpone it once again, and we'll do the first three series, a Devil and Wildcat, from that time. Right, Bobby?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's talk about this upcoming series against Miami Marlins. Four-game series starting Thursday. Game times 4:10 on Thursday and Friday, 3:10 on Saturday, and 10:10 a.m. on Sunday. All those times are Pacific time. You all can do the math if you are outside of the Pacific time zone. That is not my job. Jace Tingler gave the probables for the starting rotation, and it goes Snell and Musgrove Thursday and Friday. They are hoping that Ryan Weathers will be available on Saturday, and they said that all things are planning that that he should be good to go on Saturday, which is a massive victory for the Padres. And then Yu Darvish goes on Sunday. So what do you make of those four pitchers the Padres are going to be throwing?
I mean, we'll be back on the road. Snell's coming off a tough start at Nationals Park, four innings, four earned runs. I mean, his last three starts have been the two before that were solid. Five innings shutout against the Dodgers, four innings on the road in Philly. So that's good to see a road start from him. But still ended up winning that Nats game where he did struggle. He's had four walks in his last two games, three in the one before that. So his command is still not looking the best, but we're throwing him out there on the road again against Marlins team, which is not too strong. Musgrove, he's been getting hit hard in the month of July, 6.28 ERA in the month. Still has a 3.14 ERA on the season, but he did not look great against the Nationals last Sunday. Five innings, eight hits, four in runs. So hopefully we can get him back up, get him going. He's had a tough month. Ryan Weathers, so nice to see him back and back in the starting rotation if he is for sure out there. But he's just been so fun to watch this year with a 2.91 ERA on the season. He's just been super fun to watch. And he's going to be one guy for the second half of the season, which will be huge because we'll see. Who knows if we get another starter. Weathers might go to the bullpen. I expect him to in the playoffs at some point. It'll be big to see if we end up acquiring another arm at the deadline, because then that would likely push Weathers to the bullpen. I'm excited to see him back out there. Darvish has been struggling very much in the month of July, 7.36 ERA. He's allowed 2, 6, and 4 runs respectively in his last three starts. So I'm really hoping we can get him going. Still, I'm not worried about him. We know what he can do. We know how he's been for pretty much the first half of the season. He's been very good. He's been our ace, no doubt. But I like the guys we're throwing out here. I mean, Musgrove, he's been phenomenal. Snell, would love to see him pick it up on the road, and just can't wait to get Weathers back out there.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Snell on the road, obviously, you hate to see it because Blake Snell's been horrible on the road. But you got to throw him out there when you go on a 10-game road trip. He's got to make two starts on the road. So hopefully this one's a little bit better than his full run outing against the Nationals. Obviously, the Miami Marlins lineup, not as good as the Nationals. So that helps. We'll talk about that lineup in a little bit. Musgrove, you'd like to see him end July on a good note with two strong starts. I still have faith in Musgrove. A little bit less faith, but I still view him as the second best starter on this team, which I viewed him as for about the last 2 months. So nothing's really changed in that aspect. Ryan Weathers, I think it's huge that the Padres avoided a major injury or even just like a remotely, you know, serious injury with him, because for him to only miss really one start, I think is huge news for the Padres. And that really takes a lot of load off the rotation, because with Lamet injured and Weathers injured and Snell like dealing with some illness and Yu Darvish was dealing with some back and hip stuff, like the Padres rotation looked like it was going to be in a really bad shape. But Darvish came back, looked good. I mean, Snell on the road, we'll see. I still have hopes for a good second half from him. And then now you're possibly getting Weathers back. Obviously, Lamet's going to be starting a rehab assignment soon. It's looking like it's in better shape, at least health-wise, than what it could have been. But obviously the rotation has not been good for the last month or so. So getting Ryan Weathers back at least provides some health certainty. And then Darvish on Sunday, you'd like to see him close out the road trip with a really good start to give the Padres a good chance at getting a win and having a happy flight back home before they take on a very good Oakland A's team. For the Marlins, their rotation, we're looking on ESPN. I couldn't find anything from postgame. The Marlins, right before we started recording this, ended up winning their game against the Nationals 3-1 in extra innings, which you'll love to see them go extra innings because that just means the more relief pitchers pitched. But ESPN has their starters listed as this. Thursday, there's no probable starter. On Friday, they're starting Zach Thompson. On Saturday, they're starting Ross Detweiler, which is amazing that Ross Detweiler, age 35, is still in the major leagues and starting. And on Sunday, they're going to be starting their lone all-star, Trevor Rogers, who is having a really good year. But Rogers and Thompson both have sub-2.5 ERAs. So this Marlins rotation, which is easily the strength of their team, the Padres are actually going to avoid some of the strengths of it because Alcantara is on the bereavement list. Pablo Lopez is on the injured list. And then Sixto Sanchez has been in the minors this year. I still haven't called up Edward Cabrera, but Rogers has been good and Thompson has been good. So they're still seeing two of the four guys who've been good for them this year.
Yeah. I mean, the guys that they put out on the mound this year have been pitching amazing this year. Zach Thompson is very big guy, 6'7", 230. He has a 1.993 ERA this year. He had an amazing month of June. He didn't start pitching until June, but he had a great month, allowing 300 runs in 18 innings last month. And then this month, I mean, 3 runs in 10 innings. Still a very strong outing from him. On the year, he has 33 Ks in 28 innings with 9 walks. And I don't know too much about him. I don't know about his pitches, but on paper, he looks like a very good pitcher, youngish guy, 27. Sorry, not young. I take that back. But looks like a great pitcher, and he'll be tough to go against. Ross Detweiler, really struggling this year and really struggling in the month of July with a 15.26 ERA, 6.11 on the season. But last Monday, I mean, he just went one run.
Oh, he started that game?
Yeah, the 18-1 loss. Sorry, one inning, 7 hits. 8 runs, 4 home runs in 1 inning.
Oh,
and he got absolutely rocked, totally ballooned.
Well, I didn't watch it, and I don't know if you did watch it either. But just because he only got 1 inning doesn't mean he didn't pitch part of the second inning. It just means he didn't record an out.
Yeah,
so
thank you. I was going to.
But he allowed more home runs than outs, which I think it was the point that you were trying to get.
But his ERA went up from 4.19 before the game, which is still respectable-ish. I mean, it's not the worst thing ever.
No, it's respectable.
Yeah, so 6.11. So, I mean, before that start, he's been having a better year. I mean,
he's been okay.
Yeah, I've been okay year. And he has not been starting this year. I mean, he's been a bullpen guy pretty much.
Yeah, he's made 5 season. Starts this year.
In April, he had a 1.08 ERA. He was phenomenal the first month of the season. And then he just fell off. So it's been tough for him. But Trevor Rogers, I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. Very good. Probably the current front runner for NL Rookie of the Year at the 2.37 ERA. And he's just been so fun to watch pitch. 125 Ks in 106 innings and 37 walks. Has only allowed 5 home runs the entire season. So he's not allowing a lot of home runs. He only allowed 2 in the month of June. And he's just been so fun to watch pitch. His last 3 starts, 5, 4, and 5 innings, respectively, 2 earned runs apiece. Last 4 starts, he's allowed 2 earned runs in each. So, I mean, 5, 6 innings that he's been pitching, 2 runs, that's a quality start right there. And he's just been really good. So the guys for the Marlins on the mound right now, I mean, Thompson and Rogers have been pitching phenomenal, and Detweiler's been struggling. But other than Detweiler, this could be a tough opponent on the mound for the Padres.
Yeah, like we said, we don't know if those 3 starters are going to be starting on that day, if those are actually the starters, because, I mean, I'd like to think that you don't throw Detweiler out after that outing, but that's what they have up there. And Detweiler, who's been in the league for a long time, mostly an American League pitcher, but He does have 7 career innings against the Padres, and he's allowed 9 earned runs for an 11.05 ERA. So not great for him, but he's appeared in 33 games this year. He's appeared in 5 starts, and in those outings is that he has been a much better reliever than he has been a starter. In 28 games as a reliever, a 3.58 ERA this year. But in 5 starts, keep in mind, 5 starts, he's only pitched 7 2/3 innings for a 15.26 ERA.
Why even start him?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. And like, if one of those guys returned from the injured list, or if Sandy Alcantara returns from the bereavement list, those could be guys that could start in that game. So, like I said, we're not certain that those are the guys who are going to be starting, but as we look now, that is who ESPN projects that they will be starting. So there is that. That is our Miami Marlins starting pitching breakdown. Let's talk about their lineup, because their lineup, it's got some good bats, it's got some decent bats, and it's got some bad bats. Starling Marte is their one really good bat, and Marte, he's going to be dealt at the trade deadline. I can say that with pretty decent confidence. The Yankees are a team that a lot of people are throwing out there, the Mets, the Phillies. So Marte, impending free agent, he was rumored to the Padres prior to last season, ended up not coming to the Padres, and they ended up going after Trent Grisham, which has really worked out for them. But Marte, he's been really good. 294 batting average, 394 OBP, 843 OPS, which is a 132 OPS plus. One of their other good bats, Garrett Cooper, he got placed on the injured list this past couple of days. So the Padres, once again, they will avoid a good bat from a struggling team. Like I said, we don't like to root for injuries, and we do not like injuries, but you can acknowledge that it does make it a little bit easier for the Padres without being a total a-hole and celebrating it. We're not celebrating it. We're just pointing out that it makes it a lot easier for the Padres. Miguel Rojas currently on a 9-game hitting streak. So that is certainly someone the Padres need to watch out for. And Jesus Aguilar, their first baseman, he is off to a good start this year. The 119 OPS plus. What else do you have to talk about with this team?
I mean, Adam Duvall, I mean, he's always been a strong power hitter. He's only hitting 235 this year, but the 491 slugging percentage, 21 home runs, 67 RBIs. He's having a strong season. Aguilar hitting 266, 17 home runs. I mean, you already mentioned Starling Marte and Miguel Rojas, but the past week they've been on fire. You mentioned his 9-game hitting streak. Rojas is 11 for his last 24 with a 1.08 OPS. And then Starling Marte past week, 10 for 20, 1300 OPS, 800 slugging. He's been just on fire. Same with Rojas in the past week. So hopefully we can cool their bats down. Judge Chisholm Jr., I believe he is injured right now. He had a bone bruise in his left shoulder as of 2 days ago. So he might be out for a few games, might be out for the series. We're not sure yet. Corey Dickerson, he's having a solid season, hitting 260, 699 OPS. But not many guys in this lineup are too scary. But obviously there's Marte, there's Aguilar, there's Duvall, there's Rojas. They have some good guys at the top who can really cause damage.
Like I said, okay lineup. I don't think it's anything to fear, and it's definitely a little bit worse than the Braves lineup that the Padres pitched really well against, with the exception of Reese Kinnear, who really is a double-A starter at this point. He was a 20th round draft pick for the Padres in 2018. So
and they also have Adam Simber. I believe he's on the roster.
Yeah, he is. Wait.
Okay.
Is he? Well, no, because he might have been traded. I think he was traded.
He's on the Blue Jays.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, well, he's on their baseball reference page, which at this point doesn't make that much sense. But yeah, I thought I remembered him getting traded. But they do have some good relievers. Dylan Floro and Yimi Garcia are expected to be two guys that are going to be dealt at this trade deadline. And Richard Bleier, a left-handed relief pitcher, the 3 ERA. And I mean, you look at Ross Detweiler and his stats as a reliever, like I just pointed out, he'd been a good reliever this year. It just seems to have been so horribly bad as a starting pitcher that, I mean, like, you know, maybe a guy worth, you know, you can send a really low-level prospect in return for Ross Detweiler. So, I don't know. Their bullpen's pretty good. I'd say it's above average, at least their back end guys.
Yeah, I mean, Yimi Garcia has been a solid closer this year. Only 14 saves on the year. He's been the main closer pretty much most of the season. But 3.57 ERA as a closer, I mean, ERA can be ballooned from a few starts. But Richard Bleier, I believe is how you say it, he's been pitching
Bleier
very well. Sorry?
Yeah, it's Bleier.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, he's been pitching very well this year. 2.89 ERA to 0.88 whip. He's going to have a strong year. Simber, thank you for correcting me on that. He has been pitching well this year, but he is now gone. Anthony Bender, 31 innings, only 8 earned runs with a 2.27 ERA. This looks like a pretty strong bullpen, and I would not be surprised if they just go on a fire sale and sell a lot of them at the trade deadline.
Yep. You got anything else you want to add before we wrap up this?
Just quick look at the Padres' upcoming schedule. I mean, Marlins, A's, Rockies, A's again. Only four games against the A's, two different two-game series. And then D-backs, Marlins, D-backs, Rockies. So for pretty much the next month until August 20th when we play the Phillies and then the Dodgers at home for that week, very favorable schedule. This should be time for the Padres to take off and just make a statement in this division.
Yeah, definitely. A good time to continue winning for the Padres, especially while the Dodgers and Giants are playing each other. You know, they're going to get tired because this game is going to be high action. And the Padres just got to keep winning. Whatever those other teams do, that's what they do. The Padres don't play another one of them until August 24th. So it's over a month until the Padres get a shot at one of those teams. And then after that, it's another 2 weeks. So just control what you can control and everything else will work itself out. Next episode will be recorded on Sunday afternoon after the series against the Miami Marlins. Then after that, there's a series against the Oakland A's. Bobby and I will either talk, we'll discuss off air, but we are going to discuss whether or not we want to do a big trade deadline look at in this next podcast or in the one after that, because the trade deadline is on the 30th this year, not the 31st. The 30th. So we'll definitely come with a lot of names, some players who could be traded, some prospects who could be traded. We'll come to you with all that sort of stuff because we want to make sure that you're in the loop on who the Padres could get, who the Padres could trade. So that way you aren't that surprised when anything happens. But that's going to wrap up this episode of Devil's Talking Padres. We thank you all for tuning in. Make sure to follow Bobby and I on Twitter. You can find me at DMStern19. You can find Bobby at BobbyMurphy2000. Mostly going to be Padres stuff now, unfortunately, that the Suns did lose in the NBA Finals. It was a fun team to watch, but it's now the Padres before football season ramps up, and it's about the Chargers, I guess the Rams, and the Lions too.
Or, I mean, I don't care about the Lions. I'll hope they win for Jared Goff, but Chargers Rams. Unfortunately, the LA teams, but Chargers Rams.
Yeah. Okay. So that, and make sure to check out East Village Times. Still some trade content going up there. I'm going to finish my trade roundtable article that should be posted either Thursday or Friday. So you can go ahead and make sure to check that out. EastVillageTimes.com. Other stuff going up there as well. Loyal season well underway. Aztecs football preview. It's going to be coming up. I'm working on that along with some of our other writers. So definitely want to make sure to check that out. EastVillageTimes.com. You can find us on Twitter at @EVT_news. We thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you next episode. And go Padres. There'll be no rain this series because Miami games are played indoors.